Welcome to the podcast for the table at Central United Methodist Church. Our podcast weaves together a taste of the music that we experience here in worship on Sunday mornings, along with the scripture reading and a message. We would love for you to take a next step in growing in faith in our community. If that means you are here in Sacramento, to join us for worship at 9:30 or 11 in the morning at 5265 H Street, or if you're one of the many people who connects with our podcast from around other parts of the state or even the country, we would invite you to take a next step on our website by making a deep commitment to our community of faith or learning more about growing in faith at the table.
Our reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, and the words will be up on the screen if you would like to follow along. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
I've been in a storm for so long. You know that I've been in the storm so long. Say it all. To pray, you know that I've been in the storm for so long. It is a needed time. Singing this is a needed time.
Frederick Buechner is a pastor to pastors, and he once wrote these words: "Beneath our clothes, our reputations, our pretensions, beneath our religion or lack of it, we are all vulnerable, both to the storm without and to the storm within. And if ever we are to find true shelter, it is with the recognition of our tragic nakedness and need for true shelter that we have to start. The storms within and without took the lives of two high-profile celebrities over these last weeks, Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain. I have to confess that I didn't really know a lot about Kate Spade, so I read a little bit as we've been going, but I could get caught up in an evening watching Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown, and then I'd watch the second episode, and then the second became the fourth, and then I would turn. There was a compelling voice and witness that he shared that I just kept wanting to tune back into, and it did not seem to me like he was vulnerable to the storms. He was like the opposite of vulnerable to the storms in so many ways. He boldly took us to places that most of us will never have opportunities to go. He turned the food industry and the chef world upside down, as instead of going to highlight premier chefs in fancy places, he went to the back places that people don't go to and wondered with folks there. And it was a challenge, like a blatant challenge to somebody like me who prefers like the one speed to finding my way down from that. And for just a couple of news cycles, we were all forced or challenged to hold our attention on the disease of depression and efforts to prevent suicide. There's a pastor whose name is John Pavlovitz, and he writes about the storms within with these words. When you're in that desperate, frantic, lightless moment of despair, reason fails. There is no processing of things that seem so clear to people sitting calmly in parks and at desks and living rooms offering detached, knee-jerk commentary. Those in their right minds, unclouded, lucid, and sober, that is what mental illness does. This is what addiction does. This is what depression does. It convinces your head that nothing matters, that this terrible moment will not pass, that nothing will get better. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't require objective proof, and it has no need of logic. You just feel it. It's a counterpoint to Josh Garrell's song, Morning Light. It's instead of turning around to see what's right in front of us, we don't even have a capacity to turn at all. We're just there, looking into the abyss of despair. And I don't know about you, but for me, when I find it hard to talk about things, hard things like this, one of the people that I think I can turn to often in these moments is actually a comedian. They can often do something with comedy that we can't quite get to. And so I want to turn our attention to Michelle Wolf, who has a show called The Break. And she took all of this on a much larger segment that I'm going to have us just watch a very short clip from. So let's watch.
It's okay to admit that life is terrifying and we never know what's going to happen next. I mean, we only know 5% of what's in the ocean, and most of the earth is ocean. That's terrifying. Plus, what we do know about what's in there is scary as hell. And every time we find something new, it's more terrifying than the last terrifying thing. There's this thing called goblin sharks. Scientists named them that. And yet, we're all just walking around answering the question, how are you? With good. No, I'm not good. Haven't you seen the nightmare fish? Also, space goes on for infinity. Let's make it okay to admit you're not doing great and really listen to other people when they admit they're not either. How's it going today? Well, I've been thinking about 9/11 nonstop and both my legs hurt. Oh, I just cried in my car for 20 minutes thinking about how dogs can't tell you when they're sick. Also, space goes on for infinity. Cool, so you want to sit at the table or the bar?
Notice that Michelle Wolf doesn't say there's nothing to be afraid of. She looks to the oceans and she sees plenty to fear. It's reasonable to fear the storms. And she takes on that fear that we hold by looking at the storms within. She does another piece in this about selfies. And she invites you to wonder about the last selfie you've posted. How many pictures did it take for you to get that one that you then edited and cropped? I was aware of this last night. We were at the Sac Republic soccer game for World Refugee Night for a fundraiser. And she wants you to write like a hashtag. So after you take the picture, you write hashtag 57. Took 57 pictures to get that one. And so I was aware of this when we were at the soccer game. And Sarah and Eleanor are there. And I'm like, okay, we're just going to do one picture. See what happens. And I'm like, oh, man, I got to post that. And the first thing that someone said was like, get Matt some water. It looks like he's not okay. See, I think what she's asking us to do is something like what Frederick Buechner says. If we ever are to find true shelter, it is with the recognition of our tragic nakedness and need for true shelter that we're going to have to start. Hashtag 57. They took Jesus with them in the boat just as he was, it says in the Gospel of Mark. Just as he was. In his tragic nakedness. Over and over, Pastor Linda and I hear stories from among folks here and at the table who struggle to take Jesus with us in the boat just as he is. Instead of taking just as he is, we allow caricatures of who Jesus is to take up so much space in our psyches. And some of those have been passed down consciously from more fundamentalist expressions of Christianity. Some of them have come to us just on the side from televangelism. And we let those, not just Jesus as he is, but all the baggage there, come into the boat with us. And then we resist finding our place in the boat. For a lot of us, it's because we don't have all of our questions all figured out. We don't have long verses of scripture memorized. And I wonder if something like what Michelle Wolf is talking about is going on in this for us. Like the way she says, people ask, how are we? And we just say, good. I think something like that might be going on. Instead of acknowledging the complexity of our journey with Jesus or what comes up for us or letting ourselves go just as we are into the boat and Jesus be just as he is, we just say, it's good. And then we stay right there in that. We're too aware of the tragic nakedness, need for shelter, that we silence the storms within. I think it's one of the critical reasons we need kitchen tables. Because our world teaches us to say to one another, good, and then keep going. That's the beginning and the end of our conversation. And in kitchen tables, we gather weekly to watch over each other in love, to share about how it is with our souls, to get into the texture, the nuance, and sometimes the mess of what's behind or under good. We do that by reflecting on the great commandment, loving God and loving our neighbor, trying to avoid doing harm and doing all the good that we can. And it can be scary to face our tragic nakedness and our need for shelter from the storms. But our kitchen tables provide a boat to help us weather the storms of life together. They took Jesus with them in the boat just as he was. Just as he was. Frederick Buechner writes, faith is stepping out into the unknown with nothing to guide us but a hand just beyond our grasp. And it seems to me that that's what the disciples were doing as they were called by Jesus to put down the nets of security that they were holding and to step toward Jesus into an unknown future. And these were people that knew nets well. Peter and Andrew and James and John, they fished for a living. So they knew the Sea of Galilee, where this short story that Seska shared takes place. They knew its storms. They no doubt had heard stories and faced themselves the horrors that could come overnight as a storm erupts on these waters. In the ancient Near Eastern imagination, when folks would have heard this story as it was being shared, we would have immediately associated the sea, the water, with chaos, with disorientation. That would have been underneath or behind this story for all of them. So they're being sent by Jesus to go to the other side. They're going to go to the other side, which is a hostile territory. It's not the Israelite people, but it's Gentiles. So they're going into an unknown, and to get there, they have to cross an unknown. And that unknown, that water, is chaos, the face of the deep. We know this because when we turn to the beginning of Scripture, we hear it happening right away in Genesis. We hear, as we read in the beginning of Genesis 1, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. That's the chaos, the face of the deep. The Hebrew word is tehom, the face of the deep. Darkness covers this, while a wind from God sweeps over the face of the deep. God speaks into the chaos, the tehom, let there be light. And on that boat, the line between the storm without and the storm within was fading away, and it was just storm. Their lives were frantic and desperate. Fear was intensifying. The chaos was rising. No wonder they say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are dying?" They felt that kind of despair that Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade knew in the depths of their beings. They didn't trust that there was a morning light that was coming. But in that moment, "Teacher, do you not care?" Jesus rises in the boat, looks out on the Tehom, the face of the deep, the chaos, and says, "Peace, be still." And the English translation is even more provocative. The Greek is even more provocative than the English. The Greek would be translated in a stronger way. My daughter would say, this is the S word, Daddy. "The winds and the waves," Jesus says, "muzzle yourself. Shut up." That's the S word. Shut up. The disciples see God anew as their fears rise and then fall on that boat. And that God that they're seeing right in front of them, they say, "Who is this then, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Notice that Jesus doesn't say, "There's nothing to fear and stay seated." He says, "Why are you afraid?" That takes us past the good to answer that question. Have you still no faith? Have you still no willingness to step into the unknown with nothing to guide you but the lure of God that's just beyond our reach? Nothing more than just you in the boat, together, trying to cross these waves. There's a pastor from the East Coast, and his name is Willie Dwayne Francois. And he wrote beautifully about this text this week in a magazine called The Christian Century. And I want to share some of the power of his words to invite us to wonder about what this moment in this story might mean for us today. He says, "To speak under the threat posed by the waves of non-being and the winds of insecurity, we have to exhibit prophetic maladjustment to the chaos around us." That's like the storms around us, we can't get comfortable with them. They're real. It's not to say they don't exist, but our task is to be prophetically maladjusted. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King used that phrase to help people in the civil rights movement toward freedom and in the struggle. It's actually a psychotherapeutic term. It means being unable to cope with the demands of your social environment. And Dr. King and now Pastor Willie say, amen. Don't be willing to cope with the chaos. Be maladjusted to it. He says, we need to embody maladjustment to the iniquity of inequity and injustice. Embody maladjustment to that chaos, to what he calls a hyper-racialized carceral state and to its airtight cells of poverty, to executive orders that aim to impose religious tests on immigrants, to the gutting of voting rights and the redrawing of electoral maps so that politicians get to choose who they want to have vote for them, to the transphobic and homophobic violence that people on the streets of San Francisco right now are raising their voice in opposition to, in celebration of pride. He says, the world needs Jesus people to awake from our violent slumber and speak with the unimpeachable authority of our teacher. While all the world loses its head, we can shut up the forces of chaos if we dare open our mouths and speak. As I was making my way here early this morning, a little bit before 6 to open the doors, so instead of it being 87 degrees, it might be like 82 degrees in the sanctuary, I was coming on this back road, And there was a person who had everything he has, is my image, was there with him. And he's on the side by the railroad track. It was between my house and Matt and Gus's. And he was trying to put out a fire, and the smoke was billowing up. So I was slowing down to try to figure out what was happening. And you know those moments that are disorienting? You're not like, this is not right, but I'm not sure what's going on. And thankfully, as I'm slowing down, two fire trucks start coming this direction to help put out the fires. And friends, the storms, whether like our personal storms from a night that didn't go as we imagined, or the communal ones that Glide is facing, or the ones that we've all been working on and struggling with refugee families or immigrant families that are being torn apart from their parents on our border, these are real storms. And friends, the world needs us to find our maladjusted voices in the midst of these storms, to name the storms, and then to join our voices with Jesus' divine discourse with the chaos. That's divine discourse that started as God hovered over the face of the deep in Genesis 1, and then continued as Jesus stood in the boat to say to the storm, "Peace, be still." So in the fear and the horror of families being torn apart on our southern border, we have an opportunity to rise with Jesus and find our voice in this chaos. And it might sound like his: "Peace, be still." Can you try that with me? "Peace, be still." In the fear and the desperate despair that is felt by people in this very room who don't trust in the morning when we get up that the morning light is gonna dawn. We can't find the energy to turn back toward what the good news is right in front of us. We doubt our self-worth or our belovedness. We have an opportunity, friends, to join each other and Jesus and say, "Peace, be still." In the fear that gender non-conforming people experience just by walking down the street every single day of their lives, we have an opportunity to join our voices with the folks at SF Pride and with Jesus and say into the midst of that chaos, what do we say? "Peace, be still." In the fear and the anxiety that people who come in this room and wonder about God but don't feel religious enough or Christian enough or sacred enough or faithful enough, we could say together with one voice, "Peace, be still." Friends, Jesus is with us in the storms within and the storms without. And he's going with us to the other side. And Mark tells us he's going just as he is. And I believe, friends, he's calling us into the boat just as we are as well. No pretense, just tragic nakedness amidst raging storms. And he's calling us into the unknown that's before us with a hand that's outstretched, calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee by speaking with a maladjusted voice into it. And so may we find our voice joining the chorus with Jesus in a divine discourse that calms fear this day and every day. "Peace, be still." Amen.